Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And this is another fine edition of The Bone Collector. And I'm Patty. And I collect bones, history, and all sorts of cool stories of the odd and macabre. So, the whole purpose of what I do is to give you historical insight into the paranormal, but also sometimes we talk about some crazy and weird things. It's been great getting back on the air and talking to you guys, and hopefully within the next couple weeks, we'll transition to some live video for the show. But we'll see how that goes. Got to get through the next few weeks and vacation coming. And then once we get back from vacation, we'll probably start up those live videos. Tonight's topic is architectural design for the paranormal, talking about different elements, design elements that have been incorporated into architecture to protect the home and its occupants from evil spirits, which is things that go bump in the night, ghosts and things like that. Also, different ways that you can accessorize your home to protect yourself from spiritual encounters and where you can get some of these items, because I got a place that you can get some of them. But as I was, you know, looking through, and I like to throw out some paranormal news out there, I, you know, came across something, this lawn care company called LawnLove.com has decided that it is going to rank the top cities for paranormal activity. And I'm looking at their list. I don't quite agree with it, though. We have the number one ranked city for the best paranormal activity is Los Angeles, California, with one haunted location that they list, and four sightings. For, I guess they did a poll for people to find out about, you know, their experiences and what they've heard of with the haunted sites. And it says Los Angeles has the most haunted sites, but I totally disagree with that. I mean, you've got cities like Savannah, Georgia, that has tons of squares, that the houses are built around the squares, and each of those squares, in an essence, is a cemetery. And if you take walking tours and things like that of some of these cities, the history and the ghost stories and stuff is just phenomenal. And I'll get to talk one night, one of my shows, about Savannah, Georgia, because the ghost stories and that they have and the legends and stuff, that along with New Orleans. Now, New Orleans was voodoo capital of the world, basically, is ranked number 5. And it has some of the most unique haunted locations and stories and haunted cemeteries that you can imagine. I just don't understand their ranking here. I was just scanning through here. The worst cities for paranormal activity: Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Well, there's not much out there, so I guess. Olathe, Kansas. And I don't think I've ever even heard of Olathe, Kansas, except that for work, one of our vendors, their warehouse is located there. But the fewest paranormal sightings was New Orleans and Boston, Massachusetts. Fewest paranormal sightings. I don't agree with that at all. Cleveland, Ohio, ranked third for the most paranormal sightings. I don't even know what's haunted in Cleveland, Ohio. So maybe one show we're just gonna kind of dissect this list. Now, the most ghost tours I do agree with this. The most ghost tours ranked number one, New Orleans. Number two, Savannah, Georgia. Number three, Charleston, South Carolina. Number four, New York, New York. And number five, Los Angeles, California. And then the first number one ranked city for the fewest ghost tours is Anchorage, Alaska. Well, who's going to go to Alaska for a ghost tour? And then you've got the ones with the fewest paranormal conventions and events. The cities that are on this list, New Orleans. You don't have to go to a paranormal convention or an event to experience anything in New Orleans. All you got to do is walk outside your hotel room and you're going to experience it. But that's, I don't know. It's a lawn care company ranking the paranormal cities in the United States. So I guess you should expect nothing less than what they put up there. So we're going to talk about, like I said, we're going to talk about architecture and ways that it had been implemented over the centuries, the different design elements to ward off evil spirits. And I, find that this, if you're looking for information about the paranormal and some really odd stuff, there's a website called Atlas Obscura. And this, they had an article, Architecture for Ghosts in the Spirit World. So it not only went with the United States, but it branched out into mostly China and Japan, because they have the biggest superstitions on designing their buildings and their temples in order to appease the spirits or protect against the spirits. So they have these different temples, and they dedicate them to Tian Hao, the heavenly empress, and she's also known as Mazu, the sea goddess. And they worship her at this Chinese temple, particular temple, in the Tian Hao Gong. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of the city that it's in. But the sailors and the fishermen worship her at this temple to ensure prosperity during their fishing trips, and also safety, because, being a fisherman or a sailor is very dangerous, has been for centuries. And they have giant statues of sea turtles all around the ground. And then they have this screen, it's called a spirit screen, that's put squarely in the front entrance of this temple, and it's known as the Spirit Wall, and it is to deter the malevolent spirits from entering the temple. And it used to be that only palaces and mansions and temples and stuff had these spirit walls, but they've been, quickly putting them into houses now. It's more widely spread as time goes on. They kind of lose their ceremony as to, only the rich and the powerful have them. The everyday people can put them up to protect their homes. And there's a shrine to the Erawan Shrine in Bangkok, Thailand. And this shrine is right in the middle of where all the luxury hotels and all the bustle and people gather in Bangkok in the shrine. People, locals and tourists gather there to pray, to present flowers. And it was built in the 1950s to appease the land spirits, because the land spirits were upset that a hotel, the Erewhon Hotel, was being built nearby. So this was a way to appease those spirits. In fact, the building of the hotel was delayed by multiple injuries to the laborers and the loss of a shipment of Italian marble that they were going to use in its construction. And then it was just the, they said that there was also a swarm of angry spirits at an intersection that's near where this the shrine is, that that was a place that the government had historically executed the criminals. So they put this, I'm not sure why the evil spirits were upset, but the land spirits were upset that, you know, this hotel was being built. So they put the shrine there to kind of make the spirits happy so that they would stop causing all of this havoc while the hotel was starting to be built. There's also a hotel in Hiji, Japan. It's called the Hiji Castle. And it was construction started in 1601, and it overlooked this beautiful bay. And of course, you know, that like China, Thailand, whole Eastern countries over there have a huge tradition and beliefs in the spirit world. And one of the big beliefs with the Japanese is that the northeast corner of a building is where all of the ghosts enter the building. And it is referred to as the Demon Gate. So, you know, in the northeast corner of a building, you don't put a door, you don't put a window. In fact, it says that the architects went one step further and built a guard tower to watch for the evil spirits. So the tower is right near the northeast corner of the building, and the tower itself even has the northeast corner cut off for extra protection. So you have built a guard tower to watch the northeast corner of the castle to make sure that there isn't any spirits entering, but you don't a surprise attack from the spirits to enter the guard tower while they're guarding it. So they cut off the northeast corner of the tower. So the tower's northeast corner does not exist. Pretty interesting. And then you've got the Stickney House in Bull Valley, Illinois. And it was built in 1836. And they thought that the spirit world could speak to and through them. So their house, they built their house to allow the spirits to move more freely through the house. So every corner was rounded and none of the architecture had sharp angles, because that would hinder the movement of the spirits. And the house had two floors. The first floor was living space, and the second floor was just one big massive ballroom in which the couple would invite their friends to have seances and communicate with the dead. And they said that the couple would often talk to their own dead children, that they had or their own dead children. They had 10 children in their lifetime, and only 3 of them lived to adulthood. And it said that George Stickney, who built the house passed in the house. He was found in the corner of the home that was accidentally built at 90 degrees. So I'm just wondering if that was what happens when you don't follow your own superstitions. You don't have any 90 degrees in the house. And lo and behold, you make that one mistake. There's one 90 degree angle, and that, of course, is where you were trapped and died and went into the spirit world. So we're going to go back to the Chinese for a minute, and they believe that spirits could only travel in straight lines. So if you notice that a lot of the buildings and the temples and stuff have curved roofs in China, and that was because they believed that the spirits could only go in a straight line, and if you put a curve there, you would kind of like a curveball, they would not be able to traverse into the building. And there was a little joke that said that even their roads are zigzags. Well, not necessarily to keep spirits away. They were more zigzag because they were constructed to follow the contours of the land. So that's kind of a little bit about some different places that have. I'm going to go more in depth with a few of them. You've got the Old Round Church. It was built in from 1812 to 1814, and that is in Richmond, Vermont. Now, they say that the reason that it was built into a circle was the same reason why the Stickneys didn't have any, not the opposite actually, the Stickneys didn't have any 90 degree angles in their house so that the spirits could move freely in the house. However, the legend is in the Old Round Church in Richmond, Vermont, there are no sharp corners because that is to make it so that the devil has no place to hide. So total opposite. Devil doesn't want, you don't want the evil spirits to have any place to hide. So they didn't have any corners. It says that it also to keep enemies from hiding around the corner on the outside. Because of course, 1812 to 1814, we had the War of 1812. It's kind of an interesting time to be building a house, but that's okay. And there's a whole history on this that actually the reason why the church is round is because it was a worship place for five different denominations: Baptists, Christians, Congregationalists, Methodists, and Universalists. And they had all their church services there, so they kind of built the church around that. Now, one other design element that is common more down south than here up north, although when we build our house on our farm, it's going to have a lot of these different elements into it. And this one is the paint blue, a shade of blue-green, and you usually paint the porch ceilings of your home. And you know, the door jam and the window sashes and everything, this paint blue, because it is to keep the evil spirits from coming into your house. Now, they say that the color of this blue represents the sky, and you're tricking the spirits into thinking that the ceiling is the sky, and they will won't pass through it. They'll kind of stay there. You'll also notice that down in the south, they hang a lot of blue bottles from the trees to trap the haints, which is another word for ghosts and spirits. They also call them boo hags and boogers. And I really just love the terminology of some of their ghost stories. So guess what? We're probably going to talk, do a whole thing about boo hags and boogers and all sorts of stuff like that. Now, the one other design element that was built into a house was called a witch window. And these, that's also called a Vermont window, only because no one has really ever seen one of these windows outside of central and northern Vermont. And they were usually installed in farmhouses because, I'm going to tell you about these witch windows, that they're really, really cool. It says that they're placed on the gable end wall of a house and rotated approximately 1/8 of a turn or 45 degrees from the vertical, leaving it diagonal with the long edge parallel to the roof slope. And you can, it's just a regular casement type window. A newer house is what they show here on the illustration having it. And it's called a witch window because it was believed that witches could not fly their broomsticks through tilted windows. They were also called coffin windows. And it says that it is unclear if they were used for removing a coffin from the second floor because the staircases were narrow or because of the odd placement on the wall that they kind of looked like a coffin there. So even though that a lot of people don't really take seriously the whole story that witches can't fly through a tilted window, would you really want to take a chance? I wouldn't. In fact, I think it might be one of the first houses that you're going to find outside of Vermont that is going to have a witch window, because I really want a witch window in my house. And I think that's what we're going to do. And one of the biggest places in the country that does the architecture to not only protect from the evil spirits and from the ghosts in general, but also to appease them is the famous Winchester House. And I'm not sure if you all know who started the Winchester House. So we're going to give you a little background. So the Winchester House is in Santa Fe, California. And it was built by Sarah Winchester. And she had moved to San Jose, California, from New Haven, Connecticut, after her husband and daughter had passed away. So I'm going to, the reason why she moved to California was that her husband passed away, and shortly after her husband passed away, their child passed away. And she was told that, let's see here, I'm trying to get to the thing, Sarah Winchester. So Sarah Winchester, between the fall of 1880 In the spring of 1881, Winchester's mother, father-in-law, and husband passed away. In 1866, she gave birth to a little girl named Annie Pardee, was the child's name, and she was diagnosed with marasmus, and she died after only living a month. So she had known, really, she was 42 when she lost all of these family members. By the age of 42, she had lost the daughter, she had lost a mother, her father-in-law, and her husband. And she was told that the reason why all of this was happening was because her husband's company was the Winchester Firearms Company, and it had been responsible for so many deaths during the Civil War and in the West and all of that, that the spirits were upset. The spirits were angry with all of the death that had come from her family's wealth. So they had made money off of the blood of what they thought was innocent people or war, whatever, however you want to describe it. So she was told that in order to appease the spirits, she must take that fortune and turn it into something where she couldn't spend the money. And she would have to use her fortune to do this. Unfortunately, the Winchester family, the company kept making firearms, people kept dying, more money kept coming in. So she was continuously building on this farmhouse for 36 years. And it took her, over that time, she spent $5.5 million. So let's see, $5.5 million in, that's in 1922 money. In 2023 money, that is going to be $5.5 million. In 1922, and that is an equivalent for right now it's going to be upwards of $18 million that she spent in 36 years to renovate this house to keep the spirits happy and to appease them for keep them from taking any more people away from her. And it started off as an 8-room farmhouse, and by the time she was finished, the house was 24,000 square feet. It had 10,000 windows, 2,000 doors, 160 rooms, 52 skylights, 47 stairways and fireplaces, 17 chimneys, 13 bathrooms, and 6 kitchens. Now, she had some of the people who built this, worked on the mansion for her, were very dedicated to her. they did whatever she said for them to do. They just came to work every day, and whatever her whim was, whatever, she said that the spirits would tell her what room, what stairway, what doorway, whatever needed to be done, the spirits would tell her what to do, and she would tell the workmen, the craftsmen, and they would just do it. They were very faithful to her, and they continued to do that, like I said, for 36 years until it became this massive, massive building that has stairways that lead to the ceiling. There's no opening. It just goes to the ceiling and stops. There's doorways that open into walls. There are doorways that open straight to the outside. So you could be two stories up, three stories up, and open up a door, and there's no stairs there, just open air. There are rooms that ended up having no doors, but lots of windows in them. So it seems that she was eccentric, yes. However, she was very superstitious, and she believed that what she was doing was protecting her family from further loss. And you can actually go and visit there. They do ghost tours and stuff like that. It's one of the top, it's the top, in the top 10 haunted places from Travel Magazine. It's a top 10 haunted destination from the Travel Channel. Time Magazine places it in the top 10 haunted places in USA Today, puts it in the top 10 best haunted destinations in the United States. And it is, MSN says it's one of the most mysterious places on Earth. So if you're ever in San Jose, California, check it out. I've never been there. I don't know. It could be on my bucket list. I'm not sure. But definitely some place that you should see as an example of how architecture was used to appease the spirits and to keep them from lashing out. So there, at a time that I had done paranormal investigations, and we would occasionally get called into places, homes and stuff that were experiencing activity, and they were wondered why. Now, there's a lot of dispute about this. Now, Feng Shui, however you say it, okay, that whole design thing of making sure that it naturally flows and it has good energy and stuff. Now, they say that you should place a mirror opposite your front door so that when you open the front door, bad energy wants to come in, it will reflect that bad energy right out of the door. Now, that is more of a modern interpretation of portals, but it is a long-standing belief that the placement of windows and doors and mirrors have a huge influence on opening portals to the other side, and allowing spirits, both good and evil, to pass through. Now you have, this is how you should, if you follow that logic, you should not have a window facing a window, or window facing a door, or window facing a mirror. You should also not have mirror to mirror or mirror to door, and you should not have door to door. Those will open portals and allow spirits to enter your house. So that would be something that you should really not do, but you know, in, you won't find it so much in old houses, more in modern houses that they don't follow that. In fact, my I'm sitting right in a room that has a door that faces a window, and the door faces a door which also faces a window. So I've got a window, door, window, all in one line. Maybe they cancel each other out. I don't know. I've never had anything negative come into my house, although there are some spirits in here. So there's some things that I mentioned. There's some stuff that you can do in your home that will keep you safe. Although, let me forget about this one. Windows facing the east side. So windows should face the east side of your home to allow the sunrise and the sunlight to start your day. And it is good luck to have an east side window. They have windows facing the east side, and I can tell you, in this house that I live in currently, we have no windows that face the east. Our windows only face the north and the south. So I'm going to have to look into that. So, all right, we've got some ways that you can protect your house yourself. All right, so you can start with protecting your house. Oh, my friends just sent me pictures of these cool magnets. Oh, my God. I need them all. Okay. So, and if anybody wants to know that it's Sarkim is the name of the business. They make some awesome products. Magnets. They do wood burning laser design, beautiful pet memorials, some great layered wood art, all laser cut, some great dog leashes made out of paracord, but do not ask them if it's Boondoggle. It is not Boondoggle. And so they just sent me some things, some of these cool magnets that they made, and now I gotta have them. So anyways, back to things that you can use in your home to protect it from spirits. All right, so I draw a lot of this on my heritage, which is Southern Appalachian Mountains, and with my family. My great-great-grandmother, my great-aunt were green witches. So I'm using a lot of that to fuel what I do. So one of the superstitions for protecting your home, and you're going to find that quite a few of these don't really protect them from spirits, that protects your home from Mother Nature. So if you pick up an acorn, bring it in your house, you put it on your windowsill. An acorn on your windowsill is going to protect your house from lightning strikes. You're going to leave that acorn on your windowsill until spring, and then you're going to plant that back into the earth, so you can give back to the earth what you have taken from the earth, which was an acorn, and that will protect your home from lightning strikes. You can also drive a coffin nail, which is made out of iron. If you're building your house, it is the last nail that you're going to nail into the house. If you are moving into an existing home, it will be you would nail that into your front door jamb. Now that will protect your house from lightning strike, flooding, fire, whatever Mother Nature is going to throw at you. You have to remember that this was a time period of in an area where people were humble and they believed that they needed protection from things that could actually harm them. Mother Nature could harm them with lightning and floods and fires and all different kinds of things that didn't come from evil spirits. But then I'm going to give you a couple that are going to protect your house from evil spirits. The first one, okay, we talked about paint blue on your front porch. Front porch ceiling painted paint blue protects your house. Added protection to the front of your house. Put a mirror on the outside of your house right next to your front door. Now, it was a belief that the devil could only enter your home at night, but it was also very well known that the devil himself is very vain. So he cannot pass up the opportunity to look at himself in a mirror. So by placing a mirror by your front door, you are going to catch his attention before he enters the house. And he's going to stand there at night admiring himself in the mirror. And he is going to forget what he was there for because he's too busy looking at how amazing he thinks he looks. And he won't fully realize that he missed his opportunity until the sun starts to come up and he cannot enter your home. So if you really want that added protection of the old ways of the superstitions to protect your home, you're going to put an acorn on your windowsill and you're going to drive that coffin nail into your door jamb, and you're going to put a mirror by your front door under the porch that has the paint blue ceiling. And then you're going to hang outside your door, outside your in your yard, you're going to hang bottles upside down in a tree. It's called a bottle tree. And the whole premise of the bottle tree is that the spirits are attracted to the colored glass and the decorative glass of those bottles. They fly into the bottles, they get trapped, and they cannot enter your home and wreak havoc inside. You can also take four iron stakes and drive them into the four corners of your property or the four corners outside the four corners of your house. And that will also add protection to warding off the spirits that could enter your home. So those are things that you can do. Now, since this comes my shameless plug at what I do, aside from being the bone collector, I do make items, put together items that are based on my family heritage. And I have a few that I have out there for just this protection of your home. I have witch bells, which the ringing of the bells keeps the evil spirits from entering the house, only allows the good energy in. I also do protection bags that include the coffin nail, and then I make small bottle trees that you can have in your apartments or in your office, because we all know that each office has some negative energy to it. Maybe I should bring mine to work. Maybe. Have to dig that sucker out this weekend. My little baby one. Maybe it will help. Anyways, so that is architectural design and home accessories to help protect your home from evil spirits and things that go bump in the night. Now, are you all, everything that goes bump in the night is not going to hurt you. In fact, you have to remember that if you are moving into a house that was once the resident of somebody else and they passed on, they don't really realize that it's not their house anymore. It's always been their house. So you might have to learn to share it a little bit, as long as the spirits are not intrusive, they're not destructive, and that they kind of keep to themselves, that maybe you should just let them be. So we're going to move on to telling you what's coming up next week, next Tuesday. We're going to talk about disappearing cemeteries here in the Monroe County area, as we have several that have completely been wiped off of the earth. One of the main ones that I'm going to talk about is Rainier Cemetery in Spencerport, but there's also St. Mary's Catholic Cemetery in Clarkson, and then there's some Rochester cemeteries where in all three instances here, the dead have been left behind, and their markers are gone, and things have been built on top of their resting places. Not going to give away too much on it. It's going to be a very, very interesting show next week, because it's something that I'm very passionate about, as I love to share and connect with the history of those who lived before us. And this is something that angers me and disappoints me and stuff like that. But we're going to get into that next week on The Bone Collector. So I'm going to wrap it up for tonight. And hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. And we've got some good stuff coming up the week after next. This is the week before I go on vacation. We're going to talk about serial killers. My favorite serial killers, particularly H.H. Holmes. And then you've got Lavinia in Charleston, South Carolina, Lavinia Fisher, and then the Mason Gang. So, serial killers, but next week it's disappearing cemeteries. Where did they go? Where it was here, and then it's not. So you guys have a great night, a great rest of the week and the weekend, and we will catch you again. Oh, wait. So things I talked about for protection, in case you want to hear a little bit more about how the uses are and where to put them and to pick some up for yourself, I am going to be in Caledonia on Saturday at the Rochester Parafest. And then next Saturday, on May 20th, I'm going to be at Willow Creek Antiques on Ridge Road in Spencerport. So those are just the next two places I'm going to be. Come on to my shows. Give a shout out. Say, hey, heard you on the radio or on Blog Talk Radio here. And learn a little bit more about what kinds of things you can do to protect your home and your family from spirits. You guys have a great night. Have a great rest of the week and the weekend. And I will shout back at you next Tuesday at 8